Saturday, February 23rd, Iwins have a chance to hear a great concert and at the same time be in the presence of history. When Ladysmith Black Mambazo performs at the Gallagher Blue Dorn in Cedar Falls, part of their North American tour, if any concert should be sold out, it's this one. Joining me by phone to tell us about this is Albert Mazibuko, who in 2019 is celebrating his 50th year as a member of Ladysmith Black Mambazo. Mr. Mazibuko, thanks so much for taking the time to talk to us.
Wonderful, you know, to have me. Thank you very much. You know, you just surprised me that I'm celebrating 50 years with the group. Wow.
Well, congratulations on your golden anniversary.
Thank you.
I'm going to ask you about the history, but first, could you tell our listeners about the name Ladysmith Black Mambazo? What it means?
Yes. The name Ladysmith Black Mambazo, Ladysmith is our hometown. We were born and we were raised and grew up there, Joseph, myself, and the other older members. And so we wanted to people to know where we're coming from. So that's why we say Ladysmith. But the black, it refers to the span of oxen. Because we grew up on the farm using this oxen to cultivate the land. So there were different colors of them. So the black one, Joseph, the leader of the group and the founder of Ladysmith Black Mambazo, he used to be a driver of that black span of oxen. And so amazingly, I don't know how that happened, but we find out that the black ones, they were so powerful. Whatever that was heavy for the other span of oxen, but if you bring the black one, they can pull it off. And the Mambazo is an axe, the very important tool if you are living on the farm, because it allows you to be able to chop the trees and build your house, build your yoke, and then build your sledge to transport your crops. So Joseph named his group, he said, we are from Ladysmith. With our powerful voices, which is represent the black oxen, and we will pave the way and build our future with our voices, which symbolize the powerful and significance of an axe. So this is a black axe from Ladysmith, if you put it right.
And Joseph Shabalala, he started the group in 1960. You heard them, you were 9 years old, and I'm fast-forwarding to 1969, you are now working in a factory, but you had a choral group of your own, and your dream was to sing in Ladysmith. Could you tell us about how it happened?
You know, I think that was my biggest dream come true. Because when I was a little boy, so Joseph has been my hero. I used to follow him everywhere because we grew up in the same area. But he never noticed me until one day that I pay him a visit. But when I put my group together when I was 9 years old, and then in the area at that time, I consider my group the best because we were the youngest, but our singing was very good. We used to win all the competitions in the area. But in 1960, it was Christmas time. I'll never forget that. That was an evening concert on Christmas Day because we used to celebrate the Christmas Day. We have a concert during the day and then also in the evening. In the evening concert, it was nearly the morning. I think it was in the morning, but it was still dark. And here, this group, they came on stage wearing the navy suits and some white shirts. There were six of them, and they sang so beautiful. And then I was watching. I said, wow, who's this group? And then so when I see, oh, this is Joseph and with his group. And then when they finished singing, I took my group outside, and then I said to them, guys, this is my last time to sing now. I'm going to wait for my turn to go to join Joseph with his group. because it was first time for me to hear somebody who was singing better than my group, and then even the lead singer, he was so brilliant. I said, this is the group that I belong. But that it didn't happen, because when I left Ladysmith in 1964, I went to Durban, and Joseph, he came back to the farm, because we had to work 6 months in the farm and go away for another 6 months. That was the procedure. And when I went to Durban and I looked for him, they said, no, he's back on the farm. I said, okay, so I stayed in Durban. But and in 1969, my dream came true. Joseph came to me. It was mid-morning on Sunday. I'll never forget that. And then when he came, he was with his brother. And then he found me. I was staying with my brother and one of my cousins with our uncle. And then so when he came, we were so excited to see him. Say, oh, why he's visiting us? And then when he came, he spoke to my uncle, and then he told him that I'm here to ask those two brothers, meaning me and my brother. And then he said, I want to ask him to come and join me. He didn't say my group. He said, join me. And then because I had a dream that my grandmother told me in the dream that these are the people who are going to help me to achieve my dream of music. And then I remember standing, jumping up, and then so I was so excited. I said, yes! And then he said, no, brother, sit down. I want to explain. It's not just a singing that we used to sing, because I'm looking for something new. And then I have learned some new techniques of blending voices from my dream. And then we started to sit down and said, in your dream? Said, yes. I had a dream that you stayed with me for 6 months. So I learned everything except the language that they were singing with. I couldn't understand the language, but all the way of singing. So I want us to do that. And then my brother said, okay, but this is going to be easier for us because you already have a group. And then he said, no, I left that group because they said my singing was too difficult for them. So that's why I came to you. So we're going to reestablish the group. We're going to start from the scratch. I remember I was so, excited and also confused about the dream, that can people learn something from the dream in reality. And so he taught us two songs that day, two new songs I've never heard, and then even the way of singing. The first song was it's called Nkosi Yamakhosi in our language, in English, mean King of Kings. And the other one was the dancing song. It says Buya Duduam. It means come back, my love, in English. So we stayed with him until the sunset, and then he left us. The next day he came, we never looked back.
So many elements of that are about dreams coming true. It's inspiring. One thing that I wanted to ask you about is that I think of your music as deeply rooted in a tradition. Kind of music, I think it's called Itsekatamiya, but Joseph Shabalala also sought to take it to a new height, to create something even more of it. It's so true of so many great musicians, but could you say more about the tradition it comes from? I may have pronounced it wrong, Itsekatamiya, and what Ladysmith has done with it.
You pronounce it correct, yes. And Joseph, when he told me, because after that we worked together with him, I was spending more time with him, which was the happiest moment for me. And then he told me that every time when he listened to these people when they're singing, they're so devoted and then they like what they do, but he always felt that was something missing. So that's why he wanted to doing this in another way. When he told us, he said, let's take this kind of music in the next level. Let's develop it and make it perfect so we'll be able to compete with any other music in the world. In the world, he said, yes. So that's why he came up with his own way of singing. Even now in South Africa, people, they said, oh, this is the latest Black Mambazo style. But he still the Estatamia, because this music, Estatamia, it was created when people, they were away from their homes, especially in the mines, when they're not working, so they entertain themselves, because it was the only man in that area that we called Kombond. Now they call it hostel. And then, so these people, because they were from different part of Southern Africa, but the one that were from KwaZulu, that's where we're from, and their singing is not complete until they dance. Their dancing is a stomping dance. We pick up your leg and then you put it down very heavy. And when they do that dancing, so the security guard in the area just said, no, you are disturbing the other people, because the rehearsal, they only take place in the evening. But they said, okay, we are not going to leave our music. We'll sing our music. We'll sing softly. And then when we dance, we are not going to stomp anymore. We are going to just touch the floor. So when they take this kind of dancing back home on holidays, so people at home, they love the dancing. They said, oh, it's beautiful. They call it Totoza Mfana. It means tiptoe guy, or walk lightly on your toes. So it became Isicathamiya. So this is a music that has been around for many years. But those people, to keep it alive, they have competition every Saturdays. Even now, even nowadays, they still have that. Just to keep it alive, because they want to have something that you look for on the weekend. That on Saturday night, you will compete. Someone is going to win, someone is going to lose. So if you lose, you said, okay, next time I'll win. But Joseph, he said, they don't take it seriously. They take it as something that is to entertain themselves. But for him, it was serious. So that's why he started to teach us his new way. What happened when we are that time, when we go to the competitions, we never sing the new songs, and then it's the same style that Joseph used to teach us when we're in with the other people. And then so until we recorded, and then people, they heard it from the radio after we recorded it. When we're there, we sing the other song that everyone sings, and then sing like them. But when we are rehearsing, so we close the doors, and then so we learn his new way of singing.
Wow. That's a great story. And one of the things that you have done in those years since you joined, you've become internationally famous. I'm going to ask you about that, and influential. And you are, at the same time, you've maintained these deep connections to family and to community. Your group includes, Joseph has retired, but his sons are in the group. I understand you have a new album coming out with songs written by Joseph's sons. That connection with community and family is a very special thing. How does that affect you as an artist?
You know, I think we are blessed, because I thank God every day. I said, this is amazing, you know, to be one family, and then they go along, and then so they respect and they love what his father has been doing. We are very blessed, and then they are so talented. They inherited this from his father. Three of them, these guys that we said, okay, you're going to lead the group now, just three of you. So they share the stage, and then they take turns. And then also when they write songs, and then I said to them, because we re-recorded the songs that Joseph wrote. The album is called Walking in the Footsteps of Our Fathers. So that album got a Grammy nomination. We said, oh, so that means they are on the right track. So now I said to them, please, guys, just write your own songs, because they had some songs, and then when we have that, they have it, you know, the talent. So they have written wonderful songs. I can't wait that album has been released. And they, even on stage when they perform, they are so talented, and then it's amazing. Every time it makes me smile when I'm there. Because some other people, they said, why don't you take lead on the group? I said, no, I want to be here just to make sure that everything is going well, because the young people, when I give them the opportunity, so they still have this energy, they have a future than me. I might retire maybe some 20 years later, but they still gonna go with the group. So we are very blessed. The group, the sons, they are doing wonderful.
I wanted to ask you about a couple of the famous high points or milestones in the history of the group. So the first time that most people here in Iowa heard of you was in 1986, Paul Simon's Graceland. I'd like to hear your perspective on that. When did Paul Simon get in touch with you? What was it like for the group? Your story of that experience?
You know, it was amazing when we got that message, somebody from America was looking for Joseph Shabalala and Ladysmith Black Mambazo. And then I remember we were around in Johannesburg, and then they said, there's a guy who is there. They didn't mention the name. And then when Joseph went to see him, when he came back, we said, did you meet that person from America? He said, Joseph said, yes, it's Paul Simon. We said, Paul Simon, an art girl, because that's how we know him. There was a song that was playing over the radio all the time, and then A Bridge Over Troubled Waters. So we said, and then we started to be a little confused. Said, what does he want, you know, from us? Because we sing the different music, and Joseph said, he said he wants to do something with us. And also Joseph said, I looked in his eyes, and then I saw that he is a music man. I know he will do very good with us. And then after 2 weeks, we received the package from the post office. There was a cassette inside there and a note. And on the note, then it was written that says, Dear Joseph, in that demo, don't change some of the something that I have done, because I took it from one of your recordings. But this is a song, you can expand the song. So Paul was playing piano and singing only about two lines. Homeless, homeless, moonless, dipping on night lake. And then he did some other things. He, and then said, wow, what is that? But we got an idea what he was singing about. So Joseph, he explained the song, started with in Zulu, said, Lali Maweni. Because the idea came in the right time in South Africa, people, there were lots of violence in the area, so people were sleeping on the mountains and, you know, fleeing the violence. And then he said, Lali Maweni means we are sleeping on the mountain. And then, so after that, so we were invited to, you know, to go to London to record. We went there, we met Paul Simon for the first time as a group, and then he shook hands with us, he hugged us. Well, that was something else. Said, wow. And then after that, so we stand behind the microphone, and then so we did some, you know, the sound check with the song that we're familiar with, and then after that, we started to sing the song. That was a great challenge. That was a challenge that I've never forget in my life. To struggle so hard in the studio to make a song happen. Because as Ladysmith Black Mambazo, we used to go to the studio prepared, and then we record 12 songs a day. And then the album is done. But the day we were there from 2 o'clock until 6 in the evening, one song didn't come together. But we wanted to do it, and then so we didn't know how. But by 6 o'clock, Paul Simon said, okay, let's call it a day, and then we'll come back tomorrow, and then so we'll take it from there. And then when we went back to our hotel, we had dinner, we got together, we pray, and then after that, because now we know what Paul Simon was looking for, and then we work on the song until 12 midnight, the song was solid. Then following day, when we got to the studio, Joseph woke up to Paul Simon and said, we have been rehearsing last night, so just take a listen to this. And then we sang the whole song. Paul Simon was very happy. He said, wow, this is what I was looking for. Then he said, if like this, in this part I'm going to do this, and then you do that, you do that. In 2 hours, the song was done, and everyone was very happy.
What a story. Wow, that song is such a great collaboration between Joseph and Paul Simon and all the members. One other thing that happens shortly thereafter is the extraordinary overthrow of the racist apartheid regime, the peaceful transition that Nelson Mandela navigates. And you were right there, your music, you as artists. Could you tell me about your memories of Nelson Mandela and of that those moments?
You know, after Mandela has been released, I remember he was released, we were on tour here in the state, and then when we went back home, they said he is invited us to come to his birthday party. We'll be celebrating his birthday party in Johannesburg. That was July 18, 1990. And then we said, wow, he knows about our music. And then so we went there, and then when we got there, was many people, you know, as artists, so we go back backstage, and then we hang out there. They said, now it's our time to go to the stage. And then we went to the stage, and then we sang the first song, and then the second song, the third song, I saw someone was approaching us, walking to the stage. That was him. And then so he joined us on the left-hand side. He danced with us, and then we changed the dancing that we were doing with our song. We joined his dance because he has his own dancing that he does all the time. So the rhythm of the song, it was so good with that dancing. So we joined him, and then so we sang the song until we finished the song, and then he shook hands with us. I was amazed that he's so tall, and then it was amazing for us. And then after he shook hands with us, he stood in front of us. He said, gentlemen, thanks for the good music. And then I have been listening to music when I was in jail. And then it gave me hope that someday South Africa will be a free country. So from now on, wherever I go, I want you to be there, because you are the people that you are going to represent South Africa in music. Wow, that was amazing. We said, what? Did we hear him right? But that happened all the time. And then after that, you saw when he was going to receive his Nobel Peace Prize in Norway. He said, I want Ladies Meet People Mother. He even chose the songs that he wanted us to sing. Chose two songs. The song that I said Joseph taught us for the first time, King of Kings, We Kneel Before Thee, Asking for Peace. And there was another song that he wrote for the political organization in South Africa when they were fighting. It's called Ngeke Bayiqede. So it means, let's come together and solve our problems in peace. So he asked us to perform these songs. And then so we had a message that we will be singing at the ceremony and also at the celebration. At the ceremony, they said they don't allow the big PA system. So we said, we don't care about that. We have our voices. And then they said also they were going to give us only 4 minutes. So we have to rehearse these songs and combine them, fit them in these 4 minutes. So we did that successfully, because when we performed there that day, it was in the morning when we finished, and then Mandela stood up, and then he raised his fist. He said, Black Mambazo, Black Power. He sat down. So this is something that it was amazing. It was so emotional, and it was so amazing. And after that, he said, on my inauguration day, so I want Ladies Meet People Mambazo to be there. Before I sown as a South African president, I want them to sing these two songs that you have sung there. So we were there, sitting there before he was sworn as a president. So we took the stage, and then we sang those songs, and then he was sworn as a South African president. So I don't know, those things, when we think about it, it's like, wow, is this really? But it did happen anyway.
Knowing that you inspired Nelson Mandela when he was in prison, what a remarkable legacy that is, plus all the things that have followed since then. There are so many great achievements of yours that I want to ask you about, but I know our time is running out. I did want to ask you a little more to follow up on what you told us about Nelson Mandela. Right now, the news alarms many people, but you are looking at it from a unique perspective. Apartheid was an exceptionally dark period for humanity, and you saw, you were there as things changed. What perspective do you try to bring, or do you think you have to bring, as we look at the world situation?
You know, we believe that the only solution in the world is love, peace, and harmony. And then even now, when we're performing on stage, our second song, it's about, the first song is about hope we sing, and the second song is about encouraging people to live in peace with each other. And because we believe that it's the only way that we can make this a world a better place to live, by living in peace with other people. Because by fighting each other is not benefiting anyone anyway. So as you say, in these days, so many things that it's not pleasing. But it's only music that we know that is going to, it comforted us, it encouraged us, it inspired us to do something good. And then we make sure that we sing all the music that it brings peace to ourselves. We know that even the other people who are listening, they will feel that peace, and then so they will take it to the other people and take it to their community and to their nation, and hopefully all over the world, so they might be influenced and might be inspired to live in peace, because this is a better way of living.
Well, Albert Mazibuko, it is such an inspiration for me to have the chance to speak with you. Thank you for taking so much time, and your music and your work is a huge inspiration to many of us. Thank you so much.
You are very welcome. Thank you very much.